Dr. Perkins, John Perkins in Elk City, joining me via phone this morning. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Chad. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm chilly. I had to wear my hoodie and a coat.
I think that reminds you that you're still living in Oklahoma.
I guess so, man. If you're concerned about the weather, wait 24 hours. It'll change indeed, right?
or sometimes an hour.
Yeah, that's the truth. You know, when we exchanged messages the other day, you referenced some interesting updates that you wanted to share. So I want to get to that in just a moment. First, there are some people that are still a little unsure as to what exactly COVID-19, coronavirus, is. In brief, explain to the listeners what exactly it is.
It is a virus that has been around for decades, and sometime in December, it was discovered in Wuhan, China, identified and determined that it was a mutation from a virus that you've heard about before. You've heard it called the MERS, M-E-R-S, the Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome. You've heard it called SARS, Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome. That was about 18, 19 years ago. The MERS was about 8 or 9 years ago. And so this specific COVID-19 mutated from that, and apparently there was someplace in there a bat or bats that were intermediaries or vectors that allowed that mutation to take place. So it became a phenomenon known then, but not widely publicized, not publicized at all, as a matter of fact, until January, when there appeared to be, or there was an outbreak in Wuhan, China, and then that's what spread throughout the world now.
I don't know what the current numbers are, but it seems like we're over 40 confirmed cases in Oklahoma, and that seemed to jump up from the 20s a day before, and so it is on the spread. We did chat a few days ago, and like I said, we exchanged messages a day or two ago, and you referenced a couple of interesting updates, so I'm curious, what is now currently known about COVID-19?
Chad, just to kind of come up to as of midnight last night, when we talked 3 or 4 days ago, there had been identified 167,000 cases in the world, although the infectious disease specialist indicates that probably there were a lot more than that, that just some of them weren't identified yet. And at that point, there had been 6,400 deaths in the world. And as of last night at midnight, there were 246,000 cases. So we're up about 80,000 cases in the world and 10,000 deaths, up about 3,600 from 3 or 4 days ago. In the U.S., we had on the 16th, we had 4,632 cases identified, 85 deaths. And as of last night, we had 13,500 cases identified with 185 deaths. And in Oklahoma, there had been 8 cases identified with no deaths. And as of last night, 44 cases with our first death, unfortunately, a gentleman in Tulsa. So that's kind of how things have moved. There perhaps is light on the horizon because China, in the past 24 hours, has had no new cases. They were at 81,000 3 or 4 days ago. Actually, they're still 81,000 now. And there has been a significant decline in the, we're kind of on the downslope of the bell-shaped curve now in South Korea with substantially fewer cases. And I read last night, interestingly, we just had our oldest confirmed person with coronavirus pronounced cured, and she was 103 years old.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good news.
And she was in Wuhan, China. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Now, can we really depend on the reporting that's coming out of China as far as the number of cases staggered for the past 24 hours?
I would doubt it, although I think there's much closer scrutiny now than there was in December and January and February. I think there's much closer scrutiny about their whole reporting system now. And, of course, we don't. I'm sure somebody is infiltrated that system, but I don't know about it. But so probably the numbers we're seeing now are a little bit more realistic than what we were seeing at first, when it really was being understated, but very much understated at first.
Right. You know, I started hearing reports of some drugs that they're trying out, and I hear the results of their preliminary tests are pretty good, specifically one called chloroquine. Can you expand on some of the drugs being tested and what we can expect in the coming days and weeks as far as a potential cure?
Yes. Chet, Dr. Judith James is the vice president of the Oklahoma Medical Research Foundation in Oklahoma City, which is one of the best-kept secrets in Oklahoma. It is a phenomenal facility. She is unquestionably the smartest doctor I have ever known, probably the smartest person I've ever known. And she is a rheumatologist, immunologist. This lady actually, about a year and a half ago, unraveled the DNA code for lupus. She is brilliant. She is known around the world as the lupus authority in the world. And so she was on TV on one of the news channels a couple of nights ago talking about chloroquine, which I have dozens of patients taking for lupus. And I myself took it last summer when I went to Haiti. And as a matter of fact, I have 7 tablets on my desk right now that I was to begin taking until our trip was canceled last week. So we were to be leaving this week, and so we take the chloroquine to prevent us having malaria. Yesterday, I prescribed for one of our local dentists chloroquine because he himself has such close contact with patients, and he wanted to protect himself and give his staff the option to protect themselves if they want to also. So it is a very inexpensive, a very old medication, very inexpensive, but it is phenomenal. And the way that it works, because viruses can't live for a few hours on a surface, some say perhaps even a few days, but can't live but a few hours, so they have to live within a cell, either a human or an animal cell. And so what happens is this alters the pH of the cell and doesn't allow the virus to live in it. The reason we take it, we go to federal countries where malaria is still endemic, is because of the risk of the disease malaria. And it is a disease in which a protozoan, a one-celled organism, actually enters the red blood cells and distorts the red blood cells. And it is oftentimes a fatal disease for those people. So we take it, and the way that it works for anybody is that it alters pH, and so the protozoan organism can't survive inside the red blood cell. So it is once again brilliant, sheer amazing science that this has been discovered to be effective for things like lupus, and now perhaps for like COVID-19.
It sounds like you're suggesting that it's all almost a preventative maintenance drug. Is that what you're saying?
It is used for that. Absolutely. The use in other diseases, it is used to treat, it is used to cure diseases too. It is used to cure malaria. It is used to, you know, to change our immune system to the point that lupus doesn't destroy critical organ systems in our body. So yeah, but in this situation, it would be used for prevention. I read last night too that 3 countries, South Korea, Belgium, and China have this has been adopted as the treatment of choice for their patients with COVID-19. There was a little bit of a misspeak, I think, a day or two ago when it was announced in Washington that chloroquine was actually approved by the FDA for the treatment of this. That wasn't quite right. It is before the FDA being looked at. And actually, Dr. James is on the committee for the FDA that reviews all medications that will be used as anti-rheumatologic drugs. And that is part of her committee meets to decide things like that. And so she, that was where she was speaking from 2 days ago when she had the news conference about that.
I suspect we probably need to be pretty clear that this doesn't mean that now everybody who thinks that they're going to have this stuff calls the doctor's office to say, write me a script for chloroquine, right?
You're exactly right. I think that it has to be it would have to be decided case by case. But in that person who has traveled extensively, who has known exposure to COVID-19, who may be early on suspected of having the disease, and in fact being awaiting the testing results, I think that probably some infectious disease specialists are going to say that person should go ahead and take their first dose then. It is actually, Chad, is actually a once-a-week dosing, so you take one time a week.
Speaking of suspecting that you may have been exposed or are exhibiting symptoms, what's the proper procedure for reaching out to your healthcare provider?
Well, it is, I'll repeat kind of what you said, but it is to contact somebody. Don't just walk into an office. Certainly not walk into the emergency room unless you're critically dying ill. But to contact the office, and somebody is going to ask you questions like, how much fever, what symptoms, how much shortness of breath, how much wheezing, how much coughing, and determine if that person likely is at suspect for having the disease. And then we, again, I think most doctor's offices do this, we have the person come to our parking lot and wait until, and call our triage officer, and she'll call them. We have an empty room, and they come in the back door, and we sort of give them a mask, and we do the testing, and then depending on the degree of their symptoms, we either send them to a level of medical system that we can be cared for, or send them home to be quarantined until we have the result back. I checked yesterday afternoon, and to my knowledge, there have been 2 people in Elk City tested for the coronavirus, one in the hospital lab and one in our office. And that there may be other testing that's taking place, not through the health department, because we checked with them also, but a bit of a test at 3 individual doctor's offices. But those are the 2 that I'm aware of. And as of yesterday, those results weren't back yet. So,
just to regress a little bit, is it your belief that chloroquine will be promptly approved for?
Yes.
You think so?
Yes.
Is it the only one that they're looking at as far as treatment?
No. I learned last night that University of New Mexico is looking at a common antibiotic, azithromycin, which you probably heard called azithromycin, Z-Pak or Z-Pak.
Sure.
It is a commonly used antibiotic for the atypical bacteria, and very well tolerated. It's a 5-day course, usually tolerated well. And that is actually being used in conjunction with chloroquine in some studies being done at the University of New Mexico in their infectious disease department. So I think that people are scrambling to find out. You know, Chad, there are some absolutely brilliant people, and a lot of them, that are doing amazing things. They're working 120 hours a week trying to determine all that we need to know and all we can do to treat the disease.
Dr. Perkins, I know that you've got work to get to. So in closing, words relating to prevention, cleanliness, this type of stuff.
Oh, I just feel like we're at a point that we need to abide by all the rules, which is to avoid assembly of large groups and wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands. And I was at the cancer center yesterday in Oklahoma City, and I'll tell you, it's full swing. They're taking care of all their patients. Nobody's being told not to come in. I'll tell you, the other thing is everybody's doing air handshakes. Doctors and staff are not touching people any more than they have to. They shake hands in the air. So that's just kind of a common sense thing, too. I didn't see people wearing masks. I'm sure that anybody that was suspected of having the disease was wearing a mask. I haven't seen those people. But things are going full swing at OU, and I think in our hospital and places that are urgent to keep the system going.
Dr. Perkins, I thank you so much for your time. One last question for folks who suspect they might be dealing with symptoms relative to COVID-19. What is your office number?
580-225-5900. We also have a website, we filled it, I think, 1,200 questions after our little talk last week, earlier this week, excuse me. So, and one last comment. I just want to remind us that, you know, God is in control, and we have a choice to be really positive about this or to be doomsayers. So basically, I think that the more that we can avoid negative conversation, the more we can encourage positive conversation, I just think makes good sense.
Dr. Perkins, he's in Elk City, 225-5900 is his office number. I thank you so kindly for your time this morning.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Hey, it's 7:48. Coming up, we are going to talk more about things that you can do during your self-quarantining, social distancing, and ESPN is on the bandwagon. You remember the movie Dodgeball? The Ocho is going to make an appearance. I'll tell you about it coming up in just a little bit. Right after this, this is Cool 94.
Roper in the morning.